You're insecure, don't know what for, because you're watching The Guardian Film Show, and that's what makes you beautiful. Oh, baby, baby, don't you know you got what I mean? Coming up on our Teen Dream special, Zane, Harry, the cheeky one, the other one, and the other one fill us in on what it's like to be the world's biggest band in One Direction, This Is Us. And Shane Carruth returns with Upstream Colour, an auteurist examination of the nature of the self and the flexibility of identity. OMFG. But first, let's drag ourselves off on holiday with Duncan, an insecure 14-year-old forced on a family break with his mum and her bullying boyfriend. Mum doesn't get him. Girls just don't want to know. But don't worry, there's a water park awash with life lessons and role models just along the bay. This is The Way, Way Back.
Let me ask you something. On a scale of 1 to 10, what do you think you are?
I don't know.
Pick any number. Scale of 1 to 10.
A 6.
I think you're a 3.
The Way, Way Back has Steve Carell on truly cockish form as Trent, the blowhard step-in dad to Liam James's sensitive, lonely teen. Toni Collette plays Mum, asleep in the back as her boyfriend bullies the youngster into breaking away from the nest. There's nothing like a summer of self-discovery to get your number up.
It sucks here, huh?
Totally blows.
It's like spring break for adults. They drank all the beer.
Joining me now to get their teenage kicks are The Guardian's film critic Peter Bradshaw and our film's editor, Catherine Shord. Catherine, is this the feel-good hit of the summer?
It's sort of got the potential to be, and it's very much being marketed in that mould. It was bought by Fox Searchlight at Sundance in the sort of way of Little Miss Sunshine, which it superficially quite resembles. It's got Toni Collette and Steve Carell, and there's quite a lot in a car, and Juno, and these sort of films that kind of coast on that bittersweet vibe and have lots of interesting performances and all that sort of thing. And both those films, of course, were bought for very little and made millions and millions and millions, 250 million apiece. I don't think this will repeat that trick. It hasn't yet in the States, which is kind of a shame, but it's sort of one of those films that it nearly crackles. It's nearly brilliant, and it's almost a bit boring. And it's sort of in that weird middle vibe to it.
It's still one of those family crisis dramas that the crisis still doesn't seem that drastic, you feel like, because I think for me, because it's a summer movie, there's always going to be this warm afterglow at the end, even if things go horribly wrong.
I thought the sort of domestic drama aspect was actually quite well done. I mean, Steve Carell plays Trent, who's Toni Collette's new boyfriend, and he's really good as this sort of dickhead, really, who's forever calling Trent buddy, and
him as a 3 out of 10 at the beginning of the
that's
film.
That's right. Which is something that happened to one of the writer-directors, Jim Rash, when he was the same age, and you really do sort of sense that this is a personal kind of fuck you back to his stepfather, and I think it sort of slightly suffers from that partly because it's sort of set still in 1984, even though it's actually set in the present day. And so it kind of exists in this nostalgic vacuum where nobody has a mobile phone and things are sort of still stuck in the 80s, like the water park is a kind of piece of a Wizard of Oz-style land.
It's a bit like Adventureland in that way, right? It's got this very nostalgic view of how a summer can change your life.
Yeah, it does, but that's not to say it isn't good. It does it does adhere to a lot of clichés and it does work itself out in the way that you're thinking it will, but it is quite intricately developed, actually, and the performances are terrific. Carell's great. Toni Collette makes an awful lot out of not a huge character there. Alison Janney is totally off the leash as this boozy neighbour. The kid is good, you know, because he is, you know, you do empathise with Trent as well, because he is a 3, you know, and he does need to shape up. And in fact, ironically, of course, you know, Trent's advice, which is get out there and get on with it, is what Duncan ends up doing, even though he sort of doesn't want to. I found Sam Rockwell slightly difficult. What did you think?
He kind of plays the jokey water park owner who's terrible at managing the park but thinks he's a great stand-up comedian. And I think after about 10 minutes of him reeling off these kind of loose gags, it's just not that funny, is it?
I think it doesn't quite work.
Yeah.
Sam Rockwell's got real kind of charisma to burn, doesn't he? But it doesn't quite come together. It's nearly brilliant.
Mm.
It's so strange. It's that sort of just within grasp of being really, really good.
Disappoint me, kid. You're late. Plan on making a habit of this?
What?
You're fired.
But I just...
You make a valid point. Welcome back. It's benefits.
You waste an exorbitant amount of time. You know that?
Suit up.
You don't look too pumped.
Come on! Let's get pumped! This is the place where dreams are made or destroyed. Depends on how you feel about working at a water park.
That's The Way Way Back, suggesting that the path to self-acceptance lies at the end of a water slide. Now, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, it's One Direction.
When you go on tour, the outfit you've got is the outfit you're stuck with, so I'm going to be wearing these clothes for a good 8 months now.
No, it'll be weird wearing a trench coat.
There's been times when they've dressed us all in the same clothes and we're like, no, we can't do that.
8 million singles, 3 million albums, a global sellout tour. There's no hope nor point in trying to escape One Direction. Morgan Spurlock's feature-length promo follows the boys around the world as they take their trade to the squealing masses. Sit back, give up. You're in the hands of hardcore pop professionals.
Harry. Please, my darling. Yes, just for... Right. Yeah, thank you. Love you. Come on now.
Peter, you missed the Way Way Back discussion, but we thought we'd save up all your critical commentary because...
I'm bursting.
Here we go. Are you a directioner?
Well, I sort of... Well, no, I'm not. But there's nothing more irrelevant than the views of a middle-aged man on the subject of One Direction or their promotional film. But that said, when I was watching this, I felt that making any sort of critical comment at all is shooting fish in a barrel, really. It's quite obvious what this is. This is basically a promotional video, a piece of merchandise for the fans, and it has to be said, it is very slickly put together on that basis. It's very watchable, and as a record of an extraordinary phenomenon, it has some value. I personally have to say, I had no idea that they were quite so big in quite so many countries. Mm-hmm. I had no idea about that. The extraordinary gigs they were playing in Mexico and this stadium, it really was sort of incredible. It's weird that Morgan Spurlock, who as the director first came across as this really anti-corporate campaigner, is now making...
Is it weird? Is it weird?
Well, I suppose it's not weird. I suppose, in a cynical sense, it's not weird. I suspect that he identifies with the band. He thinks that he's the cheeky, rascally guy, sort of like the band, as opposed to the chilling corporate machine that's taking the band all over the world. As is traditional with this sort of thing, nobody says anything about the private lives, really, of the band. The question of, are they in relationships? Are they gay? Are they straight? That is completely verboten because, of course, their relationship is with the fans. They have to maintain the fiction, the romantic fiction, if you will, of their relationship with each and every 13-year-old girl in the audience. And it's interesting, but that's been going on for years. That was going on with the Beatles, their first tour, of suppressing the actual reality of their grown-up relationships.
There's absolutely no warts in this at all,
no,
is there?
Not really. It hints one time, interestingly, when one of the band is got out of bed in the middle of the night because they need him to re-record some vocal. And it's an interesting little pointer to the fact that they need to sweat every dollar from these guys before their place in the sun vanishes, because everybody knows they have a Mayfly existence. And, of course, they have to tour them, because these days the fans can download music for free. Live shows is where the money is, so live shows is what they have to do. And they are being worked very hard, and in a way, only people as young as them and as naive as them could do it, in a way. They're young enough not to quite know what's going on. If they were just a little bit older, it might freak them out, quite aside from the physical strains. But having said all of which, it is quite watchable. I would be a liar if I said it wasn't quite a watchable and slickly made piece of entertainment, which it kind of is.
What category do we put this in? I mean, it's not a documentary, is it?
Or it's not.
It's not really a concert film either.
It's not really. It's more like a glorified backstory segment of the type that the X Factor used to do. They used to do the backstory segment, showed them at home with their mums and dads, although, of course, not with their significant others, showing them in the rehearsal, maybe a little bit of cheeky backstage sort of gadabout pranking with the other members of the band, maybe even a little bit of arguing, although there's nothing like that here, and showing them yearning for fame. Mm. This is like a kind of weird reversal of that. It's like that, only they've gone through the looking glass. They are now unimaginably famous in a way that nobody could ever have predicted. So it's, I don't know, that's the only way I can think about it, as a gigantic, glorified X Factor backstory segment. Well, or an electronic press kit for us, basically.
With that in mind, why shouldn't we resent this film? You know, or why shouldn't we resent Spurlock for making it?
I don't know, really. I mean, I just think you can resent it as much as you like, but the
it's
great caravan
away.
Rolls on. You can sit there making snarky little, kind of, as it were, broadsheet comments about it, and they don't care. They don't care. It is, I don't know, it is sublimely indifferent and resistant to any form of critical objection.
Make some noise!
There's a group, you've always got people to share your experience with.
Nothing to see here, sir!
They're not wrapped up in everything.
Hey, keep their lens up here.
Just five normal lads having the time of their life.
We love you, One Direction!
Whether we like it or not, it seems we're all directioners now. Anyway, seeing as we're on the verge of losing our minds, why not blow them all together? This is Upstream Colour.
Do you know this place?
I want to say yes.
Go in there, just go in there!
For you. I want to.
I haven't slept at all!
Is there a direction that you feel drawn?
I'm gonna go wherever you go. You know that.
You now have about as much idea of what goes on in Upstream Colour as we do. It's about pigs and parasites, love and isolation, surgery and death, and orchids full of human hungry beetles. There's shades of Malick, Cronenberg and Lynch, and loads of what? And
I've never seen the parents behave so.
They can get very protective.
Catherine, director Shane Carruth made a little film called Primer, which I thought was fantastic. Did you like Primer, and is this as good?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody that saw Primer, you know, loved it and thought that they discovered something really special and unique to them. And, you know, Primer's the sort of film that you recommend to people for the, you know, 9 years it's been since it was released, and you buy it on DVD for people, and it's one of those films. And so you're massively hyped up to both see this new one and like it. And unfortunately, I didn't. I found it had, you know, I don't know exactly what it is that made me find it almost unbearably unwatchable. I think it was, you know, there's this slight kind of touch of the Vincent Gallows to the whole thing, that he does so much in it, including such a big acting part that, you know, it's sort of slightly off-putting, but it wasn't really that. It was the fact that I just thought it was kind of bollocks.
Peter, was it kind of bollocks?
Well, there is a very important sense in which it is kind of bollocks, and I understand exactly what you mean. I think it is... it's not the masterpiece everybody's hoping for, certainly. And I'm one of those Primer fans who go around saying, you must see this film Primer, and be a little bit pissed off when people already have. That's the thing about Primer fans. As Catherine says, they always assume they're the only people who've ever seen it. I think it's a qualified success. It's not linear. It doesn't have kind of character exposition at all. And, of course, it is very, very, very weird in a way that perhaps is pointless to try to summarise.
Well, some people compare it to Terrence Malick.
Oh, it's very Terrence Malick. Yes, that's the thing that I have to say did disappoint me. What has Shane Carruth been doing since Primer? The answer seems to be watching an awful lot of late Terrence Malick. It is very To the Wonder and very The Tree of Life, are kind of perhaps more To the Wonder, actually, more sort of muted and less ambitious. But I found it, I have to say, having said that, I found it intriguing and weird in a way that only Shane Carruth is, because perhaps it's to do with something having to do with him having been a software designer. That is how he has approached this film, not as a writer, but as a software designer. All the elements are kind of interpulsating in this strange way. Of course, it is sort of pretentious and bollocks. Of course, there is that as well. But I must say, I didn't find it boring at all. And I find there's something about the flavour that he brings to it very, very distinctive and absorbing. Mm.
I'd say Primer was similarly oblique in its own way. Like, it wasn't an easy watch to watch his first film and to take a message from it. But you did feel like there was an actual plot and a story to it. Has this one just spiralled off into the ether?
It's just so, it was much more focused, Primer. I mean, it was very, very small scale. This feels like he spent 9 years kind of toying with so many influences, so many plot threads, so many metaphysical ideas of his own. And it's great to be teeming with ideas, but don't put them all in one film. It's just too much, and it's incoherent in every way. You know, it's the absolute definition of pretentious as well. I mean, it's, you know, it really is. You know, I was primed to like this, but absolutely dead keen that I would. And it was just, I found it impossible. I found it harder to watch than To the Wonder.
Can you see it still getting a cultish following of its own, though?
Possibly. Possibly. I think it's not, it doesn't have that kind of first movie thing. The thing about Primer, of course, it had one simple idea, that it didn't matter how weird it was, because all it had was that one idea of time travel, and so that rooted it and anchored it. And, of course, you're quite right, this doesn't have that. It doesn't have that. But as an exercise in style and language, I still find it valuable, I must say. I know exactly what Catherine means. It's away with the fairies. There's no doubt about it. It's completely mad, and it is very self-indulgent. But I have to say, I'd almost rather watch that again than some of the formulaic stuff, to be honest with you, for all his faults.
The water before you is somehow special. It is better than anything you've ever tasted. Each drink is better than the last. Take a drink now.
Shane Carruth's Upstream Colour, and if you look hard enough, there's probably a One Direction song in there somewhere too. That's it from us this week, and indeed for the next few weeks, as the Venice and Toronto Film Festivals are taking us off around the world on a 1D-style tour. We'll be posting daily film news, reviews and videos from both festivals, and you can sign up to our daily film bulletin to get the headlines from the Lightbox and the Lido. In the meantime, thanks very much for watching, and we'll see you again soon.